I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Where is this place anyway?
That way.
Then why are we going this way? The shortest distance between any two points is a straight line.
Miss Houston, trust me. It's a jungle out there.
Scheiße!
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 567. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Just because you got John Rhys Davies in this doesn't make it Raiders of the Lost Ark Dunaway.
Oh, bad date, Scott. Bad date. Oh, hi. This week on FilmSack, we roll our soup bowl back to the 1980s to have an archaeological pre-World War II race with the Germans to reach a biblical treasure that everyone says doesn't exist, all while avoiding being killed by the local inhabitants. Oh, you've seen this one already? Have you? And everybody's face melts at the end. You say, ha, you wish. Nope. The only face melting happening here is when you try to boil your face off in a pot of onion soup to escape the feeling that you get when your when you ask your grandma to make you a movie starring Harrison Ford and she brings home Richard Chamberlain yelling, I've got it. Worst catchphrase to throw explosives ever. I mean, why not? It's dynamite. As long as you're borrowing things, why not borrow from the great Jimmy Walker? Oh, that's where you draw the line. Okay, Canon Films. But, Brian, this movie is based on the 1885 novel and has a history that lasted up to the 1950s film that was much beloved by that generation. If anything, that other movie stole from us. Oh, shut up. You know what you did. Anywho, I'm done having this imaginary argument that never happened. Now, somebody fetch me Marion. I mean, Miss Houston in Short Round. Bapo Popo. Yeah, that's it. Get that guy. And now we start our journey to the mines of Moria. I mean, the boobs of Sheba. Rhys Davies, what are you doing here? Are you here to save me from bad dates? What? You're the bad guy. Ah, screw it. Randy, boil that pot of onions. I'm taking the easy way out.
These just get better and better.
They really do.
Oh, my Lord.
And I trimmed it down as much as I could.
I'll bet you
and
did.
I tried to read
That's
it.
That's the condensed fast. Version?
Yeah. I like that you assume that soup is purely onion, because it probably was. Onions. It looked like all onions. Yeah. Yeah, it's gross.
And then they were kissing in it. Ah, what's grossed Brian out the most?
Yeah, what grossed you out? All right, well done. Let's see. Now we have Randy. He's the kind of German that goes through three whips during his interrogations. Ooh. Jordan.
Hello, Scott. Brian.
Hi.
Did I ever tell you boys about the time I moved to England? And then King George moved me to Swaziland to run the only portable gramophone service company south of the Sahara Desert. True story.
Yeah.
That little business was called 10,000 Grams of Phone. You see, 100 years ago, like today, people were real excited about taking some music with them everywhere they went. And vinylite discs were all the rage after our Lord and Savior, Eldridge Johnson, cast down the demon Thomas Edison and his ridiculous cylinder recordings. The name 10,000 Grams of Phone referred to how we manufactured a gramophone that weighed no more than 10 kilos, so you could carry carry it most anywhere by nailing straps to it like a gun. And boy, we sold a lot of them. We sold 10 kilogram field gramophones as fast as we could make them. And by that, I mean as fast as the hundreds and hundreds of indentured servants we had could be incited to make them. You know what I mean. I don't need to explain that part, right? Let's just not talk about it. Let's go on to Brian Ibbett singing or something.
Wagner! Wow, you really went down a rabbit hole, didn't you?
Yeah.
You didn't mean to.
But you did.
But you did.
But you did. All right, with us finally. Brian, more like King Solomon's green screens, Ibbett.
Huh? Singing? Jeez, how dare you? Come listen, my friends, and I will regale the adventurer Quatermain in his African tale. From the jungles of Zimbabwe to the plains of the savannah, his name was Alan, but we named the dog. Let me get back on track. Hold on a second. So Alan set out with his sidekick, Jessie Who Whines, to rescue her father and find King Solomon's mines. Many adventurers set out on a quest just to see him beneath the breasts of Sheba, which belongs in a... hold on, something different. I'm continuing. Their journey through dangers like train fights in a crock and a giant clay cauldron where they were almost soup stock, trapped in a vault where the ceiling would crush their bones when Jessie told him she loved him, but there was no time for luck. Doc, damn it! Their narrow escapes with Mbopo by his side, though on anything with a motor, he would not ride. The mines were found, and the end of the story finds Quatermain safe, even though he chose... Finds Quatermain safe with his fortune and glory... Okay, hold on, last time I've got this. Finds Quatermain safe, but don't look, Marion, it's a piece of shit!
All right, before we take so much heat from a bunch of olds... We know that Quatermain existed before Indiana Jones, and we know that Indiana Jones is kind of lifted from it. We know that, all right?
I love that you think that the olds are still alive who would complain about it.
That's true.
Or would even care about this show. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I just want you to know right now. We know. We're going to get to a lot of things in this episode. Please, just bear with us. We're going to get to it. There's a lot of things behind this movie that are notable. Let's just say notable.
Sure. But my main point is Indiana Jones is, they did it better. Or they took what was there and said, hey, let's take this in a direction that is actually going to be the new standard.
Look here, Canon Films and other olds.
Let's boil it down to where it really is. Golan Globus.
Golan Globus, you're right.
Who brought us Masters of the Universe, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, Superman 4, Quest for Peace.
At this point, they had purchased Canon Films, so it was them.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought that they called themselves Canon Films after Golan Globus didn't make any traction.
Right.
But
I can imagine why not. I can't understand how anything with the word globus in it didn't catch on.
Right? Yeah.
It doesn't sound Latin enough for you to sound globus. like it has gravitas.
It just sounds like.
But let's face it. You guys had all forgotten about the Alan Quatermain until we had our little Indiana Jones, and it was all like, oh yeah, remember Alan?
Well, Quatermain? When I was a kid, I didn't know. I just thought it was Indiana Jones because I hadn't seen any of this Quatermain business. And then here's the other funny thing. I didn't know King Solomon's Mines or its follow-up that they filmed back-to-back. I forgot the name.
Yes.
Lost City something. Anyway.
Lost City.
Gold. Yeah, we're not watching that.
We're not watching that. Why not?
We have to watch that now.
All right,
It's the summer of sequels.
As you just said, and again, this is one of those many little notable things about this. It was filmed back-to-back, Scott.
Yeah.
It's going to be the most contiguous you could ever get with two movies.
Yeah, it's like watching, I don't know, what they did that with Lord of the Rings, I guess. And
Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
The two-parter.
It happens for sure. But I guess what I'm saying is, so I didn't know these existed, and I was super into movies in 1985. I had no idea that this was a thing at all. I knew that, Indiana Jones or Raiders of the Lost Ark and Temple of Doom had already come out by this time. A year previous for Temple of Doom than this. And then this thing hits, and I don't know a damn thing about it. Never heard of it until we brought it up on this show and said, we should watch that.
Really?
And
I went, I loved it. Time.
Yeah. I loved it back in the day, and I still love it, but not for... I love it because it's basically just a spoof off Indiana Jones. They knew what they were making. They knew what they were making, and they were trying to make it
Yeah, goofy. but they did the one thing that just pisses me off with parody, where they keep one foot out of parody just in case, right? Like
just in case
people think this is, you know, good and serious. We're not gonna really delve
fully
into the
fully
parody.
Admit we're not gonna exactly. look at the camera and wink, right?
It's such a cop out. It pisses me off.
You know, and this is not the only one. There's been plenty of movies that are like this. And yep. it almost never works. We haven't yet sacked Romancing the Stone. And, you know, another thing, same time frame, just like a year before this. And I really genuinely feel like this sort of go on an adventure at a faraway land thing, mm-hmm. that's the right motif for we're going to make some jokes, guys. But this is a serious adventure, but you're going to laugh by hope, man. And it's not easy to make me laugh in these kinds of things, right? Like did you feel like the movie was trying too hard at times?
100% trying too hard all the time. I felt like it was always trying.
When freaking Sharon Stone is watching the other plane spiral down and she's twisting and turning her head like that's the only way she can watch it.
That was so stupid.
Her face is wishing in that plane, man.
Now that's a really good point. That's her foot firmly in parody town.
Yeah.
And then, but then they don't. I'm 100% with Ibbot's take there. I the whole time, and I read a bunch of reviews on this thing where people are like, now that I'm older, I think I finally get it. The movie's supposed to be a parody of these things. I'm
right,
like,
exactly.
You know, congratulations.
It either should be obvious it should be obvious. There's no or. It should be obvious.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a question. Here's a question for you.
Yeah, sure.
This movie has something that is absolutely stuck in the 1980s. And soon after this time, no one ever did this anymore for laughs. But for decades and decades, it was apparently really funny to have someone cover their face with their hands in the face of danger.
Boom, 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 boom.
Everyone in this movie, everyone except Alan Quartermain himself, they cover their face with their hands, and it's funny. You're supposed to laugh at that.
You're supposed to be funny.
And I'm curious, what age do you think you stopped laughing at that and started just to find it annoying?
Well, I would.
when Peekaboo went out of favor, that's when I stopped.
when Peekaboo stopped being interesting to me.
Right. Yeah. I know what's behind the hands. Get out.
A lot of things in this aren't funny. Like her watching, you mentioned the plane spiraling. That's not funny to watch that way. How is that funny? That's just like, that's vaudeville funny. That's like, we're on the stage.
Slapstick. Yeah. Like it, you know, that whole plane thing is just so irritating. Like, oh, okay. We're supposed to suspend disbelief with parody that she can all of a sudden get a plane off the ground. It's not just push the red button and then pull the stick back.
I don't know. Planes were simpler then, right? I mean,
oh man.
And she wasn't even pulling the stick back. She was running that thing like she was trying to play whack-a-mole with
Quartermain. Quartermain was also yelling, "Don't stop it! You're trying to run me over."
Yeah, by the way, Alan Quartermain in the books is British. They have a British actor here. Why didn't they do that?
Yeah, books, the books would have been pre-World War II. So I mean, they definitely wrote their own treatment and brought him into a more modern world. They're in the 80s.
Not much, though.
Right before the World War II.
Yeah, not much, though, because...
Hold on, I gotta come back to Scott saying they have a British actor here. Do you mean John Rhys-Davies?
No. I'm talking about...
No, the character in the book.
No, I'm saying Richard Chamberlain is British.
No.
He's not?
He's not?
I don't think so. He's Californian.
What?
That guy...
Oh, why didn't they lead it to his Californian accent?
Now, hold on a second. I swore he was from Britain. Why do I not know this?
Because
I'm annoyed.
Because his name is Chamberlain. He has to be.
Lord Chamberlain. I mean, of course.
Chamberlain.
Oh, shit.
Born Beverly Hills.
All right. So there's two things at play here. There's two things at play. Three things. My mom's obsession with the Thornberry thing back in the day.
Thornbirds, sure.
Thornbirds, whatever it was. The cartoon. Yeah, the Wild Thornberries. And then Shogun. In 1980, where he also donned a British accent. And then his name. Those three things, I think, have made me think for until this moment in time, I thought Richard Chamberlain was a British guy. Oh, you know what else? It even says it in the trivia in this movie. It says, okay. But they just added to my mythos. It said that in the books, he was British. Here, we have an American. But in my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, why would you have Chamberlain who's British? Oh, shit. I was wrong about the whole thing.
So,
I thought you meant the character was.
And I didn't realize he was closeted.
I think I knew that, but I had forgotten it. And it's so much
attention with Rock Hudson that we didn't even see Richard Chamberlain. Mm.
As a boy in the 80s, I also had a heterosexual mother who, you know, was who okay. considered like what there were statement. Two there were two leading men in the world that my mother would have forsaken her family to go have sex with.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
They were Robert Redford and Richard Chamberlain.
Yeah, your mom is my mom, dude. I swear. Yeah. She says the same thing.
Your mom
thing.
Is my mom and everybody's mom.
My mom also put Magnum PI on there. What's his name?
Tom Selleck. Yeah, or other Alan Quartermain. Didn't he do Alan Quartermain or something?
Oh, no. You know, I think didn't he do something?
Or was that just that he did Alan Quartermain like film?
Yeah,
it
was the Piggly Wiggly one. Not Piggly Wiggly. What was it called? Down Piggly's Wiggly.
Quickly Down Under.
Quickly Down Under.
That was another one that was like an adventure one. Like an Indiana Jones style.
Yeah, there was. I'm trying to remember. I thought it was a made-for-TV movie. You know what?
It's probably just the fact that didn't he audition to be Indiana Jones?
He did. Famously did.
I think that's what I'm thinking.
I thought he auditioned for Han Solo. No, wait.
No, it was Indiana Jones. And
probably did that, too.
He turned it down. He was offered the job. He turned it down because he wanted to do Magnum. So
yeah, that's right.
I want to do Magnum.
So, and in the 80s, it was like every 2 years, and this actually starts in 78, every 2 years, Richard Chamberlain would appear in a TV something.
Yeah.
And get my mom really worked up. Like, because it would be advertised for weeks in advance. Like,
she'd be all on dad.
It started with a 1978. The calendar
would be like nothing happening else on that day. You're not going to soccer practice, nothing.
Yeah.
It started with the 1978 TV special, The Good Doctor.
Yeah.
And he was The Good Doctor. And then a couple years later, Shogun, which was shown on TV in five parts. And so they drug it out over like 2 weeks. And it was like such a big deal to see Richard Chamberlain. Like, I don't think my mom actually paid attention to the plot. I'm not sure about that.
I know my mom never did.
Then a couple years later, he's in Thornbirds, right?
Yeah.
And then he really steers into the skid. And it's like, this is what Richard Chamberlain is doing. This is his career. And so when he's making this movie that we watched, right, when he's making King Solomon's Mines, he's also in the midst of the Cook and Peary movie. And Wallenberg was a thing on TV. And he had a TV special called The Miracle. And it just goes – he was he was in a miniseries that was called Dream West. I don't know if you remember this, but I sure do.
I don't remember Dream West, but I bet my mom does.
I don't know anything about it except that it starred Richard Chamberlain on TV.
Is this our second exposure to him on the show? I think we did Inferno, Towering Inferno had him in it.
That's right.
Oh, is he in that? Okay.
Yeah, he was the designer of the thing.
Right, right. He was the architect.
Let me make sure I'm not making
is that right.
I think so.
It feels right.
It now sounds right.
He was in the Towering Inferno. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There it is. Yeah, he was in that. Sure so he said that's our call. Second. We've only got two Chamberlains then under our belt.
How come we haven't watched The Swarm?
We've got both Chamberlains loaded.
Irwin Allen disaster film about bees.
Bees. Oh, The Swarm, right. Dr. Hubbard. Let's see here. 78. Why don't we watch that?
Michael Caine, Catherine Ross, Richard Chamberlain, Olivia de Havilland.
This is the one where they park the car in a cold, like baseball stadium, football stadium, and that's how they kill the bees. It's cold in there. It's air conditioned.
Well, so we sacked Swarm, the movie The Swarm. We sacked that.
We did The Swarm,
but not this one.
All I remember about that is Ant
we didn't do this one.
Though. I think we did do this one. Hold on.
What movie was it that had Ant B?
No
in the
way,
bee
really?
Yeah, I think we did.
This does not look familiar to me at all.
I think the Millions of Bees clip came from. Yeah, The Swarm. We did it. Bees. We did it.
All right. It had Richard Chamberlain in it.
Sure did. So wait three Chamberlain.
That's the same one. It's not a different The Swarm?
Nope. Same one. Looks
like the same one.
It's the one with. The reason it ring. Michael Caine's the part that's ringing a bell for me, and I'm looking at it here, and this is exactly the one we watched. Yep.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I guess the only other one is from 2020. And that ain't it.
Bees, millions of bees.
That ain't it.
Yep.
Huh.
You never know, man.
Richard Chamberlain movie that I guessed we might have sacked or we might sack in the future is Bird of Prey.
What's that?
It's a 95 movie.
Is that a takeoff on Condor? Condor
no,
Man, maybe?
Yeah. No, it's a revenge thriller.
Oh, sweet.
Oh. Jennifer Tilly's in it. That's all I can see.
Yeah. Oh.
But the reason we haven't seen more Richard Chamberlain is because he was making TV movies and TV series.
Killing it.
He kept that run in the 80s with Casanova. He literally played Casanova in a TV series movie called Casanova. And then he finally came out of the closet. And that was kind of it. He's not, you know, after that. And of course, also in 1987, he's like 54 and he's not going to be playing too many more of these.
Hey, what is he worried about? He's got King Solomon's Mines money. What is?
I didn't realize he was in that most recent Twin Peaks revival thing. The most recent thing he's done.
It's
like a bit role as an old man, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what else?
He's in a couple other things. Yeah. He's in Finding Julia. He was in 2019.
Yeah, but you're an old man. You play an old man.
He was the high father in that Justice League Gods and Monsters animated feature thing. That was good.
He's now 88, and the thing in looking at his biography that blew my mind the most was that he was in a long term relationship with his partner. Wrote about it in his biography. That's kind of how he sort of stepped away from this playing the heterosexual leading man thing. And then at age 76, he and his life partner divorced. And like, that's just, I don't know why it just
that long. Jeez.
Struck me. It's like,
it always strikes me as weird. Anybody over like 70 who gets a divorce, I'm like, where are you going, man?
Where are you going to go? Are you going to start over? You going to,
are you going to start over? What are you
going to get back in the dating pool? Are you there?
Just give up, man. Just do like the rest of us.
Do like the rest of us. Just give up. It's awesome. Just
give up.
Yeah. I'm celebrating my 30th anniversary this week, and I realize that puts me in this, you know, I don't know if it's rare the minority. It's the minority of numbers or whatever. Ibid is also in that.
That's right. Welcome to the 30 club.
Yeah, we're in the 30 club. But I cannot, like, the idea of even now, and I'm nowhere near anywhere in my 70s, but at 53,
do what everybody else does. Get separate rooms. Don't see each other.
I do like Ricky and Lucy. Just get separate beds.
You would not believe the number of people that I talk to once they get over 60 or so. It's like, we don't sleep together anymore. I sleep in one room. They sleep in the other. It's so super common. I never thought it would be super common.
I can't even imagine that. I really like my wife.
My grandparents slept together until the end. I know lots of people who do that. They say
did they die in the end room. Did they die in the same bed at the same time, same place?
No,
same?
They took turns.
Oh, okay.
One and then the other.
Okay. That's usually how it goes. That's usually how it goes. Sometimes you get full Romeo Juliet, but not always. I get it. Well, anyway, back to the point here, this Quartermain business. It's not the first Quartermain movie though, because technically the Extraordinary Gentleman thing.
1950,
I love this part of the story.
No, I mean, for us, we did the Extraordinary Gentleman deal. It was supposed to be Quartermain.
We did have the character Alan Quartermain, but the last proper Quartermain before that was the 1950s, which is funny because this was 1985 when this came out, and a lot of the critics were mad because this didn't live up to the 1950s movie. So think, it's 35 years. So think back 35 years, what movie that we loved. And then go, oh my God, they're making another one and bitching about it. Sound familiar?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We do it all the
sounds
time.
Like something that we do today.
Right.
But I do think
why
it's
do
a
they
little...
need to remake Alan Quartermain? We had a perfectly good one.
From 35 years ago. Come on.
Don't you think that it's a little different in terms of the advance of technology? Like between 1950 and 1985, that was a massive 35-year difference. Like everything changed.
Yeah. But the comparison of the budget they probably had for the 1950s movie, if you accounted for inflation, it was probably cost a whole lot more than this. Tiny, smaller budget King Solomon's Mines that we got in 1985.
So well, here's the good news: our 35 years ago movie that would have been the one right now in theaters that we should look back on and think of in this way was the worst DC film ever made, I believe. Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Yeah. The other,
right.
Another Golan Globus production.
Yeah. Is it really? Holy shit. Yes. I didn't know that.
Oh, well, maybe
someone
so
said that
much.
Earlier. Yeah.
They made that with the red on air light.
Yeah. They always
they were
do.
The ones who owned the rights to Spider-Man for all the way through the 80s. We almost got a Spider-Man movie nice. From these guys.
Yeah. The red Krypton planet. Check this out, though. RoboCop also. So that's cool. That happened.
And there were some pretty good movies in 1987, right? Like I'm trying to think of some. We saw Full Metal Jacket was 1987.
Mm-hmm.
The Untouchables. I think The Untouchables.
That was 87. Oscars, right? Yeah, that was a great movie. Speaking of Quartermain actor Kevin Cutter.
Having a hard time not naming Schwarzenegger movies.
Right.
Like he made like three movies in 1 year.
Yeah. That was the peak. That was peak Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Although I think he's peak now because I think he's cooler old, but sure.
Oh, cooler now, but movie peak.
Then. Yeah, you're right.
My favorite movie, I just remember my favorite movie from 1987 was Good Morning Vietnam. That's right.
There you go.
Yeah,
let's make another one, but let's cut the budget.
Yeah.
Let's make a parody of it.
Let's make a parody and cut the budget.
So, I'm guessing people looking back on this then were just annoyed because in the same way we would be if they said, what's a good 85 movie that we like if they said, hey, we're remaking Back to the Future. And let's say they did a terrible job at it. Mm-hmm. We'd be up in arms. People would be.
Well, they're kind of doing that now. Lost Boys, they're redoing. Aren't they doing a TV show or is it another movie, Lost Boys?
Yeah, but it could be good. See, that's the trick.
Could be good. Sure.
Yeah. So that's the thing. I think if this would have been good, I think people would have been like, oh, right. We're back.
Princess Bride.
Yay. So
we all agree that that's a great, great movie.
Yeah, 35 years old. I just want to break your heart, though. If someone did remake Good Morning Vietnam right now, I think it would star Pete Davidson.
Interesting.
No, you can't see that. That's a horrible idea. Don't do that. Oh my god.
So would you guys consider Blumhouse to be the current kind of middle tier production? Not quite Hollywood.
I would go so far as like Troma. I think Blumhouse is starting to come into its own.
Troma's a little too low. That's more like Roger Corman. During the 80s.
Yeah, but Blumhouse
has earned some respect
for me.
Totally agree.
You look at RoboCop and it's succeeds in spite of its cheesiness, right? It succeeds right. in spite of its smarm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Trauma is nowhere near.
No, you're right. There's something between Blumhouse and Trauma that is.
You think it's
something
lower? Yeah.
Don't forget, Blumhouse has these movies in their list. They have Get Out. They have Split. They have Insidious. Yeah. They have mostly horror movies, obviously.
Yeah, they've earned my respect.
They're lower production cost stuff, like The Black Phone.
The Black Phone. Mm-hmm. You guys just watched that and recommended it.
Yeah, I loved it.
So the problem is that there's such towering top tier studios right now and have been for a while that the studios that are making all the movies are Paramount, Disney, Universal, Warner Brothers, Sony, and then down quite a ways, Columbia. Like it's those five. And then you go down quite a ways. You have Columbia still in the top tier and they are sucking up everything, right? Like,
well, pronounce it char.
For every $10 billion spent this year making movies, those studios are spending $9.5 billion of it, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so, like, really anything that isn't a studio I just named is going to be, you're going to be impressed if they're actually making movies that people see.
Yeah. No, that's true. Their highest rated film, by the way, is still Get Out is their biggest.
Yeah. And like I said, it's not that they don't make good movies. It's not that Canon didn't release at least a few good movies. It's just that overall, their primary core seems to be movies that are,
well, at least in Blumhouse's case, you can say they're very genre focused, right? They just are.
Yes.
Let's do thrillers and horror. And that's it. That's all we're going to do.
Because of the landscape, you can make one great movie as a studio and suddenly you're on the map. Like A24 with Everything Everywhere All at Once, suddenly on the map. Like came out on a Crunchyroll is now a known studio.
But that's owned by Sony now, right?
Yeah, Sony on the bottom. Yeah, they just bought them. So they're part of Columbia. The Columbia thing technically is Sony also, right? Sony owns Columbia, I think.
I think you're right.
Do I have that right? I think so.
You're right.
While we're on the subject of studios, the very first note I wrote down about this film is about the title card. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, right? They snatched up almost all of these, Golan Globus. Why do they have to have the words trademark all big in their logo?
Right, like, right.
Trademark.
In case you didn't know, this
mark
trade.
That was a thing mark. Back in the day for a lot of movies, but I felt like that was waning at this era. So why did that happen?
Yeah. Why not? They probably could take that off
now. I agree.
They probably don't need to keep it on there. It's like me putting logo on the next logo.
Yeah. I was for those keeping track at home. Yes, Sony Pictures Motion Picture Group owns.
All right.
They picked them up Crunchyroll. A couple years ago.
You know who owns MGM now? Amazon.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, welcome to the continued.
That didn't happen. Oh, yeah, it did happen, didn't it?
Yeah, it did happen.
Yeah, that's right. That's why they have all those Bond movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
That explains it.
And that's the weirdness with The Handmaid's Tale, right? It's Handmaid's Tale now is going to be only on Amazon.
Oh, I missed that.
Interesting.
That's not on Hulu next season? Final season or whatever? Really?
Final season will be over on Amazon.
Weird.
Unless Hulu spends a bunch of money to get it. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's insane. There's some rumor they're buying EA. That may have been debunked in the last couple of days, but there was some talk they were going to buy Electronic Arts, Amazon, that is, which is.
Wait, is Handmaid's Tale over? Handmaid's Tale might
have. No. It's still got a season.
No, there's one more season.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Season 5 of Handmaid's.
I know. I thought the same thing. It's like, oh, that felt like an ending to me. And Tina's like, nope, there's one more season.
Yeah, she's got to get her revenge.
Got one more to go, buddy.
She's got
to
get her revenge, man. She got to get back in there. Okay, so here's what we know about that, just real quick. Trailer 5. Oh, I don't see anything about where it's being. It just talks about the trailer and that's it. Huh. Oh, that's crazy. Moving streaming services. Well, this is like JAG when it went from CBS to NBC or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Remember that? JAG?
When
JAG got moved around?
The big companies just keep getting bigger, don't they?
That's
they just
right.
Keep gobbling up the little guy. When are we going to have some good smaller stuff?
Yeah, no
I miss
kidding.
Golan Globus now.
Now you want Globus in your life. You want a more Globus society.
You need me on that.
Catherine.
Okay, so here's a question. Is this... this movie definitely steals a lot from Indiana Jones.
Yes.
And so, I mean, it kind of took the cutter and said, here you go. But didn't it also take some things from Romancing the Stone, which was, what, 84? And also... Sure. My favorite part of the trivia where they ask and say, give me that stone lady for this part.
Can we please have scrutiny?
I hope it's bullshit, but I don't care. It's an amazing story. They said, get that stone lady, referring to Kathleen Turner in Romancing the Stone. And they thought they meant Sharon Stone.
Oh, really?
I love
that's
the story.
Hilarious.
Mm. No way that's
I'm
true.
Keeping it.
I just don't think it's true.
I don't care. I'm keeping it.
Because Sharon Stone already had starred in a feature film before this. This was not her first.
Right. No.
And there's
but she's no Kathleen Turner at this point.
No, I totally agree. I absolutely totally agree.
At this point.
I'm just saying there's no way a famous actress with an agent gets accidentally hired and continues to work and so on.
Like there's no one an agent.
Yeah, there's no way that story's real. It just can't be. In fact, it made me embarrassed.
I want it to be real.
I know.
But it does feel like it's such a... Oh, I thought it's like the Three's Company misunderstanding level.
Let me it have is. My stories.
Mr. Furley came in.
Furley listening
together.
On the other side of the door. No, I guess I need to get Sharon Stone.
Oh, Andy.
I don't want the stone lady then.
I have some other scrutiny for trivia. This one also seemed like bullshit to me. According to Richard Chamberlain, and again, I don't have any, citing of links or quotes or anything here, just says he says it. Says Sharon Stone was extremely difficult to work with, to the point that many of the cast and crew didn't want to talk to her. At one point, crew members urinated in the bathtub in her trailer. It was only when she stepped in her milk bath that she noticed the odor.
Milk bath.
As that goes, it requires more scrutiny. Yeah. At first, you're like, yeah, that happens. And then with each new fact you laid on,
in
her milk bath.
It feels like that piece of trivia was contributed by somebody who really hates Sharon Stone.
Yeah, I don't know, like, how do you go from... Many of the cast and crew didn't want to talk to her. To some of the crew peed in her tub.
Yeah, like, right.
Come on.
I don't know.
I don't
By
buy
the
that.
Way, there was just like there was a number in here for how much money Turner turned down, And that was a little bit of scrutiny for me.
What, 1.5 million was like, or something crazy?
No, it was like 12.5 million. It was like,
that's the whole budget.
Right. She would have been the most highly paid actress in history if she'd taken it. I can't find it, but it's in there somewhere. I just like, you don't need to, you know, for things to be fun and interesting, they don't need to be so extreme.
Like, she wasn't, here's something you can't scrutinize. Patrick Swayze was in King Solomon's Mines from 2004 TV miniseries.
Yeah, I knew it was a Hallmark film.
Was it a Hallmark film?
Yeah.
Two-parter. That's not a miniseries. The two-parter is not a miniseries. You got to have at least three.
It's a micro-series, I think, is the official. A nano-series.
You know what, Brian Dunaway, you're right. Kathleen Turner was offered $1.5 million to play the role. That's better. I saw a different number elsewhere, but the actual number from Paul Wilstein at Morning Call says 1.5.
That I could believe. And I could see her going, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money to walk away from in like 1984.
No kidding. Right? By the way, the King Solomon's Mines with your Patrick Swayze there has higher ratings on everything than this version.
It actually looks pretty good. I was watching the trailer earlier and I was like, hey, this actually looks good because it doesn't look like Indiana Jones ripoff. It looks like what I imagined the Alan Quatermain story would be more like, which is the kind of the story we kind of get a little look at in Extraordinary Gentlemen.
So can I read you the whole oral history part that is the controversy that we should talk about a little bit?
Yeah,
what was the controversy?
Give it to me.
Yeah, so the film was shot on location in Zimbabwe. It was the depiction of
natives and stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. So the crew included many Israelis and several South Africans. And so the locals that they were hiring, who were all Arab, were all very unhappy with that fact. And the Arab League showed up to protest the depiction of their characters, like Arab characters, as slave drivers.
Yeah, which makes sense.
So
pretty hot, heated topic in that area.
Richard Chamberlain tried to defend it at the time, and this is what he said. I happen to think that people are people, and I don't care where they come from as long as they do a good job. This is a comedy, and one of the best defenses against out-of-date stereotypes is to poke fun at them. And that didn't help.
We're making fun of them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're not just depicting slaves. We're actually making fun.
Yeah, we're actually making fun of these slaves.
Mostly heated from that side of the world, right? Most of us were probably, we didn't read this interview.
No, we didn't know because we were still kind of in the headspace of like, yeah, they're natives. That's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you do, man. I've watched films. I've seen every John Wayne film ever on the safari.
Those are super racially sensitive, aren't they? Those movies. There's another movie called High Adventure, directed by Mark Roper in 2001. That was this is horrible. So this says Chris, slick, adventurous grandson of legendary adventurer Alan Quatermain, searches for a mythical treasure of Alexander the Great with the help of a pretty German girl while eluding a dangerous, greedy gangster. Yeah, that's right. Chris Quatermain.
Chris.
I'm down with that.
That sounds terrible. Oh my gosh. Was that direct to DVD? Man, there's a ton of these Quatermain things.
Yeah. It's probably in the public domain at this point. The story is, and that's the reason why we got to leave Extraordinary Gentlemen. Most of that stuff was in the public domain. You just kind of pile them all in together. And so, yeah, of course.
Did you know that this was... Here, I just put it in our thing. Alan Quatermain of the Temple of Skulls, 2008, rated R, has a 2.3 out of 10 on Rotten Tomatoes. And we may have to track this down. This sounds like real shit.
Not until we watch Romancing the Stone. We haven't watched that yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
Nope.
I think it got pulled once, and we almost just watched
Lost Hills or Lost City and call it good.
I like the Lost City of Gold. It actually is the superior of the Quatermain.
Oh, is it now? Because everyone I talk to, including the reviews everywhere I read, say that it's the opposite.
Oh, well, first of all, who are you talking to? Second of all,
everybody I've talked to.
Right, everybody I've talked to.
A lot of people tell me it's a superior film. A lot of people tell me it's a superior film.
Yeah, they're saying.
Right.
People are saying, excuse me, people are saying it's a very popular film.
I think you've been watching that.
I've been watching the Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx is
such a great. Jamie Foxx does a great.
Oh, it's insane.
Oh, yeah. Scott forwarded the thing over to me. It is insane how good that is. Yeah. What are we wasting his talents on Ray Charles?
No kidding.
When he could be doing that.
Go get at that too.
Yeah, give up the rest of your stupid shows and movies and things you're connected to, and just do that for the rest of your life. It's really something. Anyway,
yeah.
So we're making a new Alan Quatermain film, guys. And it's going to star John Cena. Who's the woman?
I can't wait to bitch right about now? It and say we already have an Alan Quatermain movie. It's called King Solomon's Mind.
No, I'm saying I'm challenging you right now. Who are you casting as the female lead in the new Alan Quatermain?
So there's not really one being made with him in it. You made that up. All right.
You're fantasizing.
I don't know that John Cena is your guy, is what I'm saying. I don't think John Cena is your guy.
Is what you're saying.
Well,
John Cena is my guy. He would be freaking amazing.
As Quatermain?
Yes.
I don't know.
So we got to have somebody who's age appropriate for John Cena. More sensitive.
Amy Poehler.
2022.
Amy
Poehler. I would love that. Would be hilarious.
Thank you for talking about their age, because she was 27 and he was 51, guys.
Wow. Yeah.
27 and 51.
It's fine because he wasn't interested, but whatever.
He looked pretty good for 51. He looked pretty good. Yeah, he wasn't interested at all, it turns out. Turns out it was even in the freaking Union Soup Bowl, he was like, "Ugh, I don't want to be doing this."
Yep.
John Cena, I still think Cena's a bad pick. But if you're going to go full jokey parody, good times, 21 Jump Street sort of reboot, sort of focus, you're just going to have a giant parody fun time, rated R romp or whatever, then yes, he's your guy. And also, Amy Poehler's a great idea in that scenario. I like it.
I think, Amy, as a comedy, I think that's just brilliant. That's really hard to not go
there. You can go with that. Yeah. Or you know what? Reunite him with your Suicide Squad, your Margot Robbie. Get her in there. She'd be fun. She's too big.
I was hoping you were going to reunite John Cena with Jennifer Holland from Peacemaker. Because I just think there's something about them. They have chemistry.
They have a weird chemistry, yeah.
Yeah,
it's such a great show.
Go ahead. No, you do.
No, I was going to say if we're going something like, is this made for TV or is this going to
theaters? Theaters, sure.
That's a good question.
Okay. I think HBO Max.
I think it would be a Netflix movie. Honestly,
okay, Netflix movie. There we go. I need to know where it's going to be at first. Yeah.
All right, that's fine.
That's a good
question. Have James Gunn direct. Have his brother Sean Gunn.
I think it's
Gunn.
Time for Amber Heard to make a comeback.
So I don't want any more talk about any of that.
Yeah.
If I were her, I'd just retire on whatever money you got left. And I'm not saying I'm not taking a position on this. I'm saying we have ruined those people. So I don't want to see either of them. I don't want to see Depp ever again. I don't want to see her. I'm done.
What do we think of Chris Pine in this role?
As the lady? Oh, okay.
It certainly would be a departure.
No, Chris Pine's better than John Cena. If you're being serious, like if you're going to really go for it, then yes.
I am being serious.
No, I don't mean you.
Rose Byrne.
I don't mean you. I mean the filmmakers. If the filmmakers are being serious, you go with Chris Pine. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
like unless
Chris Pine and Maggie Grace. Maggie Grace is our other.
Or Leslie Bibb, either one. You could actually switch them halfway through the film.
Yeah, they're interchangeable. Do it like the Olsen twins. You just pop one out when you need one, and boom.
Is it required that they be 24 years apart? Because that would be kind of fun.
That gets harder. Yeah,
it gets trickier.
And Chris Pine and
it'd be Chris Pine and like Florence Pugh.
Sure, I like Florence Pugh a lot. She'd do.
I don't know. That's not even close to 24 years apart.
I was gonna say that's still too close.
She elevates all the material she's in, so I'd probably like this better with her in it. But
bottom line, Sharon Stone was fine. She was appropriate in every way. It was just everything around her was so weird,
She was basically just playing what's her name in Temple of Doom.
Willie Scott.
Yeah.
Just
playing that whole like I'm nervous, I'm scared, but then I'll accidentally do something that works, and then I'll be nervous and scared again, but then I'll be tough somehow, and then
The thing. I would love to know which what scenes were in the original Alan Quatermain or taken from the book, and which were like, oh, we could have a crushing ceiling, that descends on them. Yeah. We could have
I think that was a problem. I don't think anything in this film was taken from the Alan Quatermain book other than you know, he was an English guy that was in Africa, and that he was going on.
But all these old tropes have existed forever, like them cooking in a pot because they're a bunch of cannibals. They're going to eat them in a giant pot. I mean, I know 1940s Looney Tunes that had that idea.
But I loved how stupid the tribesmen were too. They were like, oh, look, it's rocking back and forth. Perfectly normal. This is what always happens when we cook the people.
This will go well.
Let's cheer it every time it rocks. Nothing's going to go wrong.
And, they're stirring the soup for us. Yay!
This is my favorite part.
And everyone who saw this was annoyed, right? That not only that they had corn in South Africa.
I wasn't sure if there was onions.
I saw cucumbers. I didn't see corn. That's hilarious.
Yeah. There was corn
that was half peeled.
Half
shucked. Like, of course, it was all made of plastic. Everything in there was made of plastic.
Yeah.
And you think so?
Some of those onions looked real. Yeah.
Yeah. That onion was coming apart like a real onion.
She when she gets caught, this is very early in the film, but when she gets put in a rug and then moved somewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was lifted from Raiders, like straight up lifted, except it wasn't a basket. That's the only difference. Marion got lost in a basket. He got confused about which one had the right basket. Turns out the guy he thought it did didn't. And then the basket was over
there. I kept waiting for him to shoot somebody.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for somebody to come along and do the flippity flips.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they had the dynamite.
And there's so much, the just ripped right from Raiders and from Temple of Doom. That Kali Ma was basically that Ghouli, whatever the priestess, the high priestess.
Oh God, I love
with the giant glowing butt plug. What was that giant Ghouli? What did they do with that thing? The thing they pulled out of the lava to frighten Sharon Stone?
They were going to put on her head.
It looked like a butt plug. Is what it looked like. I haven't seen a lot of butt plugs, but that's pretty much what I think they looked like.
There were some like magic crystals in this movie, and I figured that was just one of the, like, that mountain. That mountain is just chock full of weird magic stuff.
It's all magic.
You're just gonna glide right by.
Yeah, it's a voodoo mountain.
My favorite part is the fact that it's got those hidden catacomb areas where she can pop out and just laugh. And then she'd hide again.
Carnival ride.
Yeah. My favorite part was that there's a dino hippo living in there.
What was that thing?
Okay.
According to the Wikipedia, is some kind of cryptozoological creature thing. And I'm like, that wasn't what it was, a stone hippo. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Dino hippo. And how dare you blow up the mountain and kill that thing? That's a global embarrassment.
Yeah.
That you blew up that mountain.
It's an indigenous creature.
Spider, and it's weird webs. And
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The drawn webs. You see the webs on the webs that were behind the fake webs. Like marker webs. Yeah. Somebody had drawn them.
Yeah. And our guy who gets eaten by the spider, he's backing up and you're like, oh no, webbing. Oh no, that's terrible.
Yeah, right.
Somehow in getting, you know, he has to pretend to get twisted up in the webbing. Okay. I get it. But he somehow turns himself over. Not the spider doesn't turn.
Upside
the spider
down.
Isn't touching him. He turns himself upside down. And I'm just like, what living human being would do that?
Don't even get me started about people living upside down. That whole tribe that lived upside down. All I could think of that whole time was that's not how gravity works. You've not evolved to do this, and you're going to die. You'll die.
I got to say, though, it was the best part of the movie. It felt the most original.
I will agree with you, because that part I was like, all right, this is kind of fun. They drop down and pick people up like, yes. Yeah.
I hated
it. Apparently they've got a washing machine.
They smeared extra Vaseline on the camera to let you know how dreamy it was. I like that part. That was my favorite part as well.
I don't know, because like going back to the whole racial undertones,
sensitivity.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we show up and we're dirty, and these black folks
wash our clothes, bring us food, give us grapes.
Yeah, bring us gifts.
For my money, the best part of the movie was the first sequence. Like we're in a crazy market town. As we're going in, there's all of this den of hive of scum and villainy sort of talk. And then when we get in there, it really is like if you feel like it was borrowed from Star Wars. And then we end up with a junk dealer who has a gun and we throw dynamite at that guy. And it's like that really entertained me. The rest of the movie did not live up to the start.
I agree. But then again, it felt like they were just ripping off that Indiana Jones scene, which bugged me.
Yeah, sure.
If it wasn't so Raiders, I would have given it more credit.
The Cairo chase. Right.
Yeah. So that the guy that you're talking, isn't that guy's name? He was the shop owner. What was his name?
Schmengi Fartowski.
Kassam or something like that. I think his name was Kassam. He was one of the best things in this film as well.
Oh, the guy that was always worried about his furniture breaking? That guy?
Yeah, because he was like, my was table! Hilarious.
My door!
My door!
actor is named Shaka Ophir.
Yeah. Right.
And Shaka Ophir died just 2 years after making this movie.
Oh, man. In front of his door? Because you got to be careful.
That was my door.
Well, you only have to be concerned if you're in that 2 foot center section of the door.
Yeah.
Because it's not wide enough to get the other sides of the door.
Yeah. I love that he freaked out about his door. I'm like, did you not set that booby trap up?
Yeah.
Did you not know what was going to happen when it was triggered?
Yeah.
He's got the memorable line of the movie for me, though, when he comes up with that dynamite and goes, I got it.
Yeah.
Like, I got it right. It was perfect comic timing, you know?
Yeah. It blew up everywhere. It was amazing.
I barely really could understand him when he had that nostril. I mean, that was the idea, but when he had that.
Oh, but that was actually pretty funny. I almost did my intro in the nasally voice thing. Got my gun against my nose.
Really glad you didn't.
Exactly. I thought that'd be fun for about 2 seconds, and then it'd be like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
And that could have been what grossed Scott out the most, but I think clearly it's the Sharon Stone finger toothbrush.
You are right there. You know what? I'm going to give him a tie, and I'll go ahead and say you're correct. There are two things that happen.
She spits out right after that.
Yeah, there's two things that happened that I didn't like. One was her finger. I hate that. I think that's gross. Every time anyone does that, I think it's horrible. However, the gross thing was this.
You waxed your anus.
When gross. They were in the quicksand and the cartoon German guy with the mustache got quicksand mud in his mouth.
Yep, I saw
it. Oh, yeah, okay.
I can't do that.
And he wipes with his arm, and his arm is covered in that mud, too. It doesn't
really
help.
Really gross. I mean, that just the idea of getting a mouth full of sand or dirt or mud is one of my worst fears. I hate it. It's so gross. Yeah. So I can't deal with that, but... it was still, you know, look, I understand you're in a pinch. You got to get your teeth clean. What are you going to do? Well, I got a finger. I get it, but I just think it's unfortunate.
I've done it before. You ever brushed your teeth with your
finger? I've never done it once. Never. It sounds horrible. I wouldn't, in the right circumstances, never done. I always take a toothbrush with me camping. I've never forgotten one. Yeah. So look, all I'm saying is, in a pinch,
you're like Alan Quatermain with dynamite. You always have a toothbrush in your pocket.
That's right.
Like
always be prepared.
Dynamite in his pocket.
Yeah, I have two of this trip I'm taking. I'm taking two with me, just in case one gets lost, because I ain't want to put nobody's finger in my mouth, especially my own.
Why are you having somebody else put their finger in your mouth?
Kim, clean my teeth
That's
with
not
your
how
finger.
That works. I can't do it. I can't do it. Reesinger, do it.
Hey, gross. The ceiling scene or the Temple of Doom ripoff scene where the ceiling's coming down. I decided to look up some of that stuff. Most of these things existed in those old Quatermain books. So part of me wants to say, oh, well, Indiana Jones is the one that actually ripped off these tropes and used them, but they used them so much better. That it's a little like
it's like the covering artist doing a better job with the song than the original.
Yes, there you go. There's the.
I mean, what also be Hendrix's "All Along the Watchtower" versus Bob Dylan's?
Yes,
but there's also a lot of things you do in books that you can't do on film because you can't show them right. Yeah. So, for instance, let's just say that the key to crossing this moat is you don't step on the 22nd stone. And that's something you can say in a book, and it's very interesting, right? Everybody who crosses is quickly counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Don't step on the 22nd stone. Well, in a movie, you can't do that. You have to have it. You have to have it be more blatant.
Marked
to
with
see.
Nail polish. Yeah.
Right. And it's just like, oh, that's not as. I'm sorry, that's stupid. And the guy, no one would fall for that. And you know, it's just like, oh, okay. And you, those things all pile up in this movie. So many things like that. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, for
well, I
sure.
mean, Indiana Jones was, you know, taken from the serials from the 30s and 40s.
Not just Quatermain, but all those.
Yeah, they were. That's their. That was their whole idea. And, those two got together, Spielberg and Lucas, and were like, what if we made stuff that we liked when we were kids? And they said, here's an idea. And then Lucas wrote some of his best work, and boom, there's your legendary all-time.
Boom, goes to Dynamite. There's your Indiana Jones.
I got it.
didn't get weird till Crystal Skull. It was pretty much pretty great through the whole thing. And shut up, people who hate Temple of Doom. I love that movie. Shut up.
It's okay.
That's good.
You're allowed to like it. Look, as we're comparing King Solomon's Mines to all of these other movies that it ripped off, though, I do have to ask about a trope. There's a big trope in this movie.
Well, let me play the trope alert because that feels appropriate now.
Gravity. It works weird in this movie. Gravity is just like gravity is the filmmaker's plaything. And the two best examples of gravity for me, I realize rolling in the pot, that's a thing. But the two best are early in the film, are Indiana jumps, Indiana.
Early in the film. Watermanio.
Early in the film, Dr. Jones-ish jumps through a skylight in a roof and jumps down maybe 30 feet. It's a long drop and lands very lightly into a table. It makes no sense. When you see it, you're just like, gravity does not work this way. I don't understand. And then later in the movie, the two of them are on an airplane and they're landing, and they're gonna have a really hard landing. So he just decides and says to her, we're just gonna jump out of the plane as we land.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, gravity doesn't work like that at all.
Nope.
Right. Yeah. And so they don't show it to us. They don't show the stunt. They didn't try the stunt. There's no stunt people are going to try that. Why do that? Just show us them sort of like recovering from their fall.
Anything broken? Nope. Just fine. All right. Oh, the plane blew up. Let's both put our heads in our hands.
One thing is a little frustrating is this is a film that comes out in a time where I feel like we'd gotten okay with our green screen tech. Like it wasn't the best. It wasn't as good as it is today with digital help and everything. But back then there was at least a competency to it. This movie hired the wrong freaking people. It's really bad. They have shadows casting where they shouldn't. They had weird glowy stuff around their heads in way too much amounts. Like that was bad. And every time they were
good.
Yeah.
When the big cook pot was rolling, it was a different pot, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Different pot.
Yeah. Totally for sure.
It's a miniature pot, right?
Number one, it was a miniature pot, but the shape changed in the between the big pot that you saw from a distance and then the one that was rolling in such high speeds that it would kill anybody inside.
Well, there's no way they survive.
Which I wonder if they made the small pot first or the big pot. I wonder which one they designed after.
Working backwards, who knows? I have no idea. But you're right. They would be dead. There'd be dead bodies in there. Two dead bodies of that lion, who, by the way, would have killed them either way. I don't know why he was just sitting outside.
Whatever, condition. Let's just say you're fine. It's a fun ride, right? Let's just say you're fine. Whatever your condition is, you're not making out at the end of that.
No.
You're not making out.
No. You are that thing is so full of throw up.
They were hurling the whole time. If not, they were definitely going to hurl after, no doubt. And then you're covered in
that water. That wasn't even water left in the pot. It was hurl.
It's just vomit, onion soup, and then that. So that lion's like, "F that! I'm not going in there. Gross."
Yeah. Forget that, man.
Yeah,
that's nasty. I'm
not coming in there. And by the time they did leave, or by the time they got out of there, there were what, five or six lions around? Were we supposed to assume all they all just sat out and watched while they were in there doing it? Using, onion soup for lube? Like, what were they doing?
Oh, God.
I know. I'm just saying. I didn't want to go there, but I did. I went there. Onion soup for lube. Write that down.
Yeah.
It was pretty gross. that just conceptually was real dumb. I wrote here. Let's see, what did I write? I said, I wrote, and this is pretty late last night, so I was kind of in a mood. I wrote, did they actually have a giant pot to cook them in? Are we sure this isn't parody? I wrote.
Right.
No, we're not sure, Scott. I just want to answer the question
clearly.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Exactly.
You're
that's
not
the problem.
Sure.
Yeah. Does the pot need to be that big?
No.
I love that it is that big. Humans
aren't
that
lot
big.
Of them. There were a lot of them to feed. I mean,
Yeah. But I mean, you can have several bowls.
You're going to tell me a tribe of people, subsistence people, are going to build a fire that big? They're going to waste that much wood for one meal? No.
Not to mention, it's like they have a whole bunch of lions right next door. Is it easier to just eat humans?
It's a good point.
Kill lions.
That's
a good point.
I also wrote that spider was shit in capitals.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah, you capitalized it.
Yeah. I mean, you described it earlier for all the
reasons. Let me tell you something.
It's just bad.
The worse the special effects, the more you have to act. And that guy did a fine job. I don't care what you say.
You think so? He really put in his work, got his paycheck, that guy?
He earned his pay, my friend.
All right. Because that was a real dumb-looking spider.
Acting is reacting, and that guy was reacting.
It was the kind of scene where I thought, you know, in editing, I would be really tempted to remove it. I would be like, right. You know, this doesn't line. Even the other shitty stuff in the movie is at least passable. This is really low rent, bottom of the rung. Don't put the spider in, is what I would have said.
I don't know. Yeah. You've seen that scene like a million times throughout the 50s.
Sure.
That spider, that it probably looked natural to them. It's
but
like,
to 85,
oh,
did
like,
it look natural in 85? You know, I don't think so. I wouldn't have. If I'd have gone in 85, I wouldn't have been like, ooh, freaky spider. I would have been like, I can't wait till I get my license and can see take girls out, is what I would have said in 1985.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't wait to roll a girl down a hill in a pot of onion soup. That's how you have sex, right, Mom?
Yeah, that's how you make babies. Didn't you know? All right. I think we can do some titles unless you guys
have
more.
The only other note I have is about the high priestess who had the two guys with the skull.
Yeah.
Okay. Makeup. And I said, she's basically David S. Pumpkins.
Oh, nice. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So I was working. I could not figure it out. She is. She's David S. Pumpkins.
Yep. Yeah.
Any questions?
Good catch.
Any questions?
Yeah. Good Love catch. It. Nicely That's done. Brilliant. All right.
Everybody in that tribe had gym muscles too.
Very oh, yeah, they were ripped. Yeah,
could not beat up little Chamberlain.
They don't skip leg day in that tribe.
Yeah, and by that we mean they eat the legs of their victims in their giant soup pot. I don't think on a diet of humans you can maintain that physique. I don't think it works that way. I could be wrong. Everything I was always taught is you get the shakes or something weird, right? You can't eat other people.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think those guys were eating people.
You don't think?
Not
what were
the
they
skeleton
eating?
People.
What did they have?
I don't know. I was having trouble keeping up with the theme tribes. So... It's like this tribe only eats people.
Oh,
this
wait, is, only... isn't Mbabwe or whatever his name is, Mbubu or
Mbabwe?
Mbobo. He's the like the king of the place, and we don't know it until he reveals it.
Exiled former leader.
But that means
scar on his stomach.
But that means he's also a cannibal guy. That's the deal.
No, he's not a cannibal. That tribe was not a cannibal. That tribe was fed gators. They had pet gators.
To get to the bottom of the theme tribes thing, Scott, you need to notice that his tribe ends up wearing red and pink.
Yeah, you're right.
That's how you know they're different and they're nicer. Yeah.
When they go to leave and they have the diamonds hidden in their shirts, they did something weird with the video. Did you notice this?
Yeah, that's another. That's more Vaseline on the lens. To
what
make
was that for? To make the stones
make the
sparkle.
Yeah, you get the star glistening. Like it makes you get the four pointed star like when the diamonds.
That looked like shit. Yeah. That looks so bad to me. Like when they
especially because they had it on for so long before they pulled the diamonds out. That you're like. Wow, why is it so blurry when they're leaving this camp?
Yeah, what you do with that is you cut to the diamonds, have it be all shiny, and then cut back to a normal shot. That's so dumb.
You and I know that, Scott.
Yeah,
there's your Star Trek connection. That. Anytime they needed a dreamy scene in the Star Trek, they would use that Vaseline camera stuff.
It's called Sybil Shepherd effect.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, how do we make Sybil Shepherd not look old?
I love when things get, they should do that because I love what's the Ken Burns effect or the.
Right. Yes. The Sybil Shepherd effect.
Yeah. That should be hers. Although it's not very nice, I guess, but still she should be hers. Yeah.
I have a crazy connection for you
Go.
In this movie that you just kind of brought up. So Mbopo is played by a South African actor named Ken Gompu. Ken Gompu did make a lot of movies. He was in like The Gods Must Be Crazy and other movies.
Okay. I didn't know that.
10 years before this, he was in King Solomon's Treasure. In that movie, John Kalikos played Alan Quartermain.
Ken
Gompu played some random African named Umpslopogus.
Ah, Umpslopogus. Okay. Yeah, those are the ones. That's a terrible name.
What the hell?
What did he go on to do? He go on to do anything else? Is he a busy guy?
Lived to be 74, died in 2003.
Okay.
I was gonna say he's kind of on an age at this time.
Yeah, he made some movies in the 90s. I think it was mostly South African TV movies.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, there is that reminds me, there's one other story here that's interesting. The guy that played Colonel cartoon German Colonel Bachner,
Colonel Klink, whatever it is.
He was considered like a big deal, and they couldn't believe in the trivia they talk about a bit, but they talk about how it was a big deal that he would even sign on to this thing, because prior to this he was like a like
a real actor,
a respected stage, and he was in Spartacus, and you know, just like really serious things. And in this one,
apparently at his peak, this is just trivia. I can't verify this, but at his peak, Herbert Lom was the most famous actor from Hungary.
Hungarian. Wrote. Okay, cool.
Hungarian connection.
Yes, a Hungarian with an English accent. Pretending to be a German. It was very odd.
It was very odd.
Right.
Lived in 95, died in 2012.
Yeah. You know what else I loved in this movie, though? There is one more thing I loved. The Rhys Davies doing the, in case you didn't know, Quartermain was his enemy because he would constantly yell, Quartermain!
Right. Oh, yeah, really, for sure. Enjoyed
every time he did that.
Do you think that was just stunt casting with him? They were like, hey, he's in Indiana Jones. Let's get him. Do you think? Maybe.
I don't know. Was he just there? He just happened to be like visiting and like, okay, yeah, I'll be in your movie.
Yeah. I don't know. Those two have been in movies before, or no, they were in Shogun together. That's what it was. Him and Chamberlain were in Shogun. So this isn't their first time hanging out with each other. If you know what I mean.
I'm watching this movie with my kid and it gets started. And the first thing that happens is that someone disrespects John Rhys Davies real bad. And my kid is like, oh, so this is a racist movie, like the person of color. And I'm like, okay, I get you. I understand what you're seeing, but I just want you to know John Rhys Davies is Welsh. He's not Arabic.
Yeah.
He is definitely playing a person of color from a certain perspective, but yeah. I don't know why.
He got cast to be Arabic all the time back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, not at all. Like in recent stuff, if you don't count Lord of the Rings, he was always, you know, British or Welsh or whatever, just being normal. Normal. That sounds
wrong.
You
have the right look.
Terrible, Scott.
I know it sounded wrong. Normal. I didn't mean it that way. Real quick here too. The I want those listeners at home to know, some of you probably had bets, you know, placed bets that Scott was going to bring up a certain Shogun moment. I'm not going to bring it up.
He kind of just did.
I didn't tell him which ones. A big mini series. Six episodes.
You got your satisfaction from it. So
well, yeah. I did. But my point is, I didn't specifically and verbosely bring up the exact scene. I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it.
If you keep going, you might.
I might get there eventually. But
don't piss off Scott.
Yeah, don't make me
for,
mad.
For me, the Shogun moment will always be the thing that they showed in a million commercials beforehand, which is a bunch of warriors running down a pier, brandishing swords over their heads.
Mm. Okay.
And it's like, when you say the word Shogun, that's what I think
that's
of.
Because
it's such like a prestige shot of all of these Japanese warriors. And they're all running down a pier toward a boat, right? The boat is at the end of the pier, I think. Right. And they're all brandishing, they're all holding their swords over their heads, which is, I guess that's something people do, but it looks great. It just feels wrong to me somehow.
I picture the naked Japanese lady bum and then the scene I won't talk about. That's all I think of. Those two things are my dad trying to change between that and the baseball game with a porn channel in the middle of a hotel. Right. Yeah.
It wasn't that racy. It wasn't racy.
No, it wasn't. But for a 14-year-old, we didn't care. It was a bum.
Yeah, so, it was a bum. Right.
It was a bum and a little side boob, I think, may have been there. It was like Clash of the Titans movie. Boob
side boobs?
Clash of the Titans was PG, but it had boobs and bum. And that was
it had the two B's that I was looking for.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for at age 12 or 13, whatever I was. All right, let's get to the clips. We have a number of them here, and I will start with John Rhys Davies saying some stuff.
I shall need time.
That is impossible, Professor Houston.
Who the hell is this?
You will translate it now.
Bad dates, Indy.
You're all expecting, oh, it's Sulla. He's going to be so good here. Oh, my God, he's horrible.
Yeah, he's mean. He was mean through the whole thing. All right, here's...
But you could kind of understand where he's coming from, right?
Yeah.
These Germans treating him like crap. Like, I was surprised you didn't just kill him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Sure. Why don't you just kill him? Kill him. You're right there. You have the power. Kill him.
You have the power. Come on.
I wrote, who the hell is this? I think it's probably just quoting it.
Who the hell is this?
Oh, it was. That's the guy that got killed by the door. Got hit with the spikes. So
I think... Rhys Davies was the one who put that thing on the door because he was the one who knew where to cut the rope to have it slide down and smash him.
Oh. Okay.
I don't think it was the shop owner.
So the shop guy didn't know. He really did. He was concerned about a door that he didn't know was jacked up or whatever.
But it is an awful big setup for just one to off one person.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me reset it for the next person.
I like when different nationalities complain about each other's food, and so here's a scene from that.
Colonel Bukta!
Your nauseating breakfast is getting cold.
Love it. Your nauseating freaking...
His knockwurst.
Yeah, his nasty German food. Here's Sharon Stone.
What does he want?
What does he want?
And then I wrote Quartermain.
Oh.
And we did it so many times. Quartermain.
Quartermain. Something about $100.
$100? That's terrible.
Oh, she's not very good in this.
She really isn't.
Yeah. I think she's acting as much as she was paid.
Probably. That's the acting of someone who's just had their tub pissed in, I guess, by the banker. I don't know.
Right.
Lots of post-production ahs in this, and they all sound like this all the time. Just lots of
yes. Oh, and
yeah. And they so all clearly bad. ADR. None of them sounded natural. It was bad.
Right.
Staying alive.
Yeah. Can't say this so much anymore.
Where's my father, you cheap-suited camel jockey?
Oh, I don't know about that now.
And there's a second one right after that one. I don't know if he captured it, but Towelhead.
Oh, I missed the Towelhead one. Yeah. I missed that. Oh, it's too bad. I would have recorded it and played it here. Because in this context, see, we don't get in trouble. We just play it, and then we go, oh, right. Tisk. Look at, I can't believe people said things like that. You know, so don't get after us and send us your emails. All right.
No, we're commenting on how bad it is.
Yep.
Yeah. And I honestly did not expect this. Like I would question whether I would sack it again, you know, like if I really understood just what the, cause it was uncomfortable, the racism, you know?
Mm. Yeah. There was enough of it. It reminded me just,
I didn't think it was hateful racism, which
it's just ignorant, you know, racism.
Sometimes I look at movies and I'm like, eh, it's a thing of his time, and we've grown since then. And if it's hateful, I'm like, no, I can't watch that.
Yeah,
I'm
with you on that.
Ignorance.
Yeah, this feels like ignorance to me. This feels like, you know, I'm not saying it's better or anything, but it's definitely not mean-spirited. It's just like bad ideas.
Okay, I'll put it this way. Now that I've seen it, I do not want to ever watch this again.
Well, then I got good news for you, because the sequel apparently has a lot more of this sort of stuff in it. So,
right.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
And I've come around to your way of thinking, Scott. Originally I was like, oh, we have to watch the sequel. It was a concurrent sequel. Yeah. And now that I think about it, you're right. You're right.
I think it's Brian's versus,
Deluxe. Wayne, are we that rarely on
Brian and I want to see the sequel now.
Are we that rarely on a team that we haven't come up with a good way of saying what our team is? Because, you know, Gibbet and Deluxe Away and all that.
Deluxe Away, yeah.
So, Wayne, what's Randy and me? Have we never
team
done this?
Randy Johnson, the big unit.
That's the name of our team.
The big unit.
All right, the big unit against
doesn't happen often.
Ibucks away. Holy shit! Have we never done these two teams? This is weird.
I don't think we've ever had these two teams. I guess you could always say the Bryans.
I guess the Bryans.
There you go. The Bryans versus
the big unit.
Yeah,
the big unit.
I've always assumed that there was a thing where Scott and I did the instance together for so many years, and we're like constantly like planning and plotting and writing and then recording that thing.
Yeah.
And like, so we start doing Film Sack, and I always just felt like, you know, Scott and I need to debate a little bit. Like we need to be less of this cohesive unit.
Yeah.
And it just kind of like felt like we fell into this role where Scott and I try to take opposite opinions on Film Sack. Yeah. And I think I'm over it.
Well, it's because we're the big unit now. We're the big unit. And we'll look out, everyone. We're the big unit. All right, here's a gun and nostril time.
Yes, it's coming back to me. That Houston, you say. Houston. Thin, tall man. Gray hair. Yes, he was here. He examined the maps and then left.
It's even, like, is the gun to his nose also giving him, like, delirium or something? Because he's not talking, like... Oh, yeah, I can talk perfectly normal with a gun next to my nose, but it's...
Yeah, I don't know why that would have been He didn't need to talk the way he talked. He could have been fine.
I don't know what happened.
The Tyats, three words? What did I write here? All right, here it is.
That's three words.
Oh, I went. I'm supposed to say that's three words. I spelled it Tyats because I typoed. Anyway.
That's three words.
That guy seemed like he might have been famous, the old professor.
Oh, the dad. Yeah.
That,
Father Houston.
Yeah, Father Houston.
By the way, if they had landed that kind of joke every time, it would have been a much funnier movie.
Yeah, he did.
But by this point, you're so tired of the stupid humor that you don't even notice that that's a pretty good joke.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Here's Angry German.
What's fucking to you about?
It's pretty great. I like an Angry German.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Angry Hungarian German.
Yeah. It's a dummy. What?
It's a dummy.
Oh, I remember now. It's a dummy.
It's a dummy.
Yeah. That's your Richard Chamberlain saying it's a dummy. Here's German for shit.
Scheiße.
All right, that's good.
That's a good one.
The German, this German rules I wrote.
You know, I find you most attractive.
You're a swine.
Oh. I wasn't talking to you!
Now, I liked him until he suddenly went on a male rape rampage with the old man.
Yes, right.
And then I went, oh, I don't like that German.
And a shotgun in the crotch would make way more of a mess than we got in this film.
Yeah, that would have been some extensive reconstructive surgery.
Sharon Stone and her dad now covered with blood and splatter and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's the second most gratuitous crotch shot we got out of a Sharon Stone movie.
Out of Sharon Stone. Well done, sir.
Thank you. Discount Indiana Jones music. Now, I like Jerry Goldsmith a lot, and I think this is pretty Goldsmithy and pretty good, but it's very clear they're trying to evoke that Indiana Jones thing.
Yes. I was even thinking, I wonder if I played this backwards, if it would be like, sometimes you play a theme backwards and you can create a new theme that sounds unique, but then it's like, oh, I just basically took the other one and did it backwards, but I didn't think about doing it.
I thought it was, I liked it.
Do you guys know what this is in German? Let's try to suss this out.
Ich warte auf dich.
What do you think she said?
Don't get the corn out of my crotch.
I've had an onion peel in there all day. Please remove it. No? I'll do it one more time.
Ich warte auf dich.
Ich warte auf dich.
So ich is I.
I. Volta,
I
want.
I have onion peel in my crotch. I'm pretty sure the last word is crotch.
Crotch, yes. It might be cucumber.
Yeah. And this is when she was like walking through the dumbest group of Germans I've ever seen, pretending like she's there for them somehow. And if she speaks German, they'll be fine. And they were. And it's so dumb. But I'll do it one more time.
Water. Water is Wasser.
Let's do it one more time.
Ich warte auf dich.
Ich warte auf dich.
It could be Wasser. I water your plants.
What are you doing on this train? I water your plants. Oh, okay. Keep
everyone listening who understands German, thank you. No, thank you.
For your
can't
service.
Wait for your no, no, can't wait for no. the emails.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your service. No, thank you.
I want to hear I do want to hear. So send it in. Yeah. Let us know. Yeah. you are wanting to play chicken?
You are wanting to play chicken.
Chicken?
Oh.
Chicken?
Now that guy was chicken? The most Hogan's Heroes thing in the film.
That's what I was thinking too. It's like, oh my gosh, did you just go back to Hogan's Heroes and study it?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, that guy's so dumb. All right, eating people. Oh, this guy with his back and forth.
Running away and eating people. Eating people and running away.
What's the difference?
So one half a dozen of the other. tomato water. Tomato water.
Tomato water.
Here's Sharon Stone making a horrible sound. All right, there's that.
Oh, yeah.
That's when she saw the pot and realized she was not there for dinner, but to be dinner, like a cartoon somehow.
Oh, jeez.
Cartoon somehow.
It was really dumb. All right.
They don't want to have us for dinner.
It was like, wait a minute. Oh, my God.
Would this be better as an animated feature? The same voice actors?
This is the sound it made when she, remember when Newman was looking at her and she spread her legs and, or changed her.
Oh, yeah.
This is the sound she made. That's the sound that came out.
I thought that was Newman making that sound.
Yeah,
I think you need to. I think you need to take that audio and put it over the video.
I might do it, except only the three of us would ever get it, and a few listeners.
But that's fine.
Yeah, that's true. All right, making fun of Iowa.
Bet you never had this much fun in Iowa.
No. blah, 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 blah. I'm gay and I'll never tell anyone. All right. And the next one, let's see. They wash my shirt.
They wash my shirt.
Yeah. Very, very good reference to this, to the very nice.
In case
thing.
You couldn't tell from the visualization of them dipping it in the water.
Yeah.
Bright, scrubbing clean, it. Bright yellow, yeah. New shirt right out of the package. Yeah. In case you couldn't tell.
Yeah. If you weren't sure, now we are. All right. They must. Oh, all right. I promise I edited this, but I didn't. Okay. So here it is.
A bugwa.
What?
A bugwa.
What?
They must be a bugwa.
What?
A little bit. What? What?
I added a few whats on there.
Yeah. I love it.
Like two of them.
A bugwa?
Tribal freakout lady.
Gagula.
Yeah, she was stoked.
I drove that lady in my Lyft yesterday.
Oh my gosh. I want to know more. That sounds like a DMS story that'll have to wait.
No.
Let's see. What's this one? Oh, this is a fun line, I thought. Genuinely. It was all right.
Quartermain! I kill you with your own gun!
I just think John Rhys-Davies is fun to watch. He's great.
When he said the Mines of Solomon, I was, oh God.
You expected Mines of Moria to come out of it?
Yeah. It felt so right.
Yeah, it does. Such great acting in the cave, which is to say this is terrible acting. Enjoy.
I swallowed a bug.
Hey, good.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with all of you?
It's like a two-year-old.
Swallowed a bug. All right. And what for me?
And what for me?
Jeez. Easy. Slow down.
Yeah. He invented the first bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
I the answer to his question, by the way, is a throat lozenge.
He really needs one. He had one more in him, though, and that was this.
Eat the stones.
Eat the stones.
It's actually painful. Yeah. I can't even swallow anything the size of a vitamin. A Flintstones vitamin is about as big as I can swallow.
Those are some big ass stones that he had to fake eat.
I can do a big pill, but if it's not going to dissolve, this sounds like a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, I'm changing my story. The thing that freaked me out the most in this movie was that depiction. I will remember it the most.
Yeah.
I will remember it more than the dynamite. It slices
your intestines as they go down.
Yeah.
Oh, and that thing will rip out your butthole.
Yeah.
I'll just sit down and poop out the stones. Ah, ha, ha.
Yeah.
That's going to be so funny. Ha, ha. German laxatives.
No, Randy, you're right. I was just now that you said that, I think if I had seen this when I was young and more impressionable, this would have been the thing that I would not be able to get out of my head. Because that's just, it's a different thing than just gross. It's like torture. It's horrible.
Painful.
Yeah, it's awful. And then you have to wait. Then the waiting begins, right? Because you've eaten the stone. What are you going to do? And you can't just hork up a stone just as easily as horking up your lunch, you know? Well, stones like to stay down. It's gravity, baby. All right, that's it for that. Let's look at this. Why, I've been handed the film sack checklist, and it goes like this. Make out while you're in the soup, and then the lion watches you. Check. That happened. The best laundry is when tree people do it for you. Check. And
honey,
finally,
have you seen the tree people?
I need
my shirt pressed.
That's right.
How many people does it take to wash your shirt? Tree.
Tree. Ah! Oh, that was almost as
painful. These jokes are as good as movies.
Yeah. It's almost as good as eating a rock. All right. Cartoon Germans are the best Germans. Check. That's 100% true. Yep. All right. Let's get to Star Trek connections. There have got to be some. Something.
Yeah, I want to talk about two. Wait, I want to skip the first one. The first one is Jerry Goldsmith again. I just feel like we've stumbled over him enough in our previous episodes. Like,
yeah, great. If Jerry Goldsmith does your music, guess what? He was also a ton of Star Trek. So yes, there you go.
Yeah, and it's good. Yeah. I just want to say that you said it's like Scott. It's perfectly good. It's like
fine.
I would totally own the score for this movie.
Yeah, it's fine. I just don't like that it tried to be. I guarantee you, somebody there, director, producer, somebody said, "Listen, Mr. Goldsmith, we really want to try to get that tone of Indiana Jones without actually ripping it off, because that's what I feel like they gave us." So knowing that or having that feeling, I don't think I could own this and listen to it very often, because I'd just be like, "Oh, you stole it, or you borrowed it, or you likened it," and it would bug me.
There's also a Western aspect to Jerry Goldsmith's take on this kind of music. And so, like, I could totally see that music being reused as, like, a, Kevin Costner riding across the range. kind of movie.
I think he did the music for Silverado, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah. I think that was him. And so, yeah, he knows how to get Costner on his horse for sure.
The Star Trek connection that really jumped up for me is John Rhys-Davies. For some reason in my head, I thought he was in a lot of Star Trek Voyager. He was not. He was in two episodes of Star Trek Voyager. But I was just like, I was prepared to talk about how he was in 13 episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Nope, just two. Those two episodes were called Concerning Flight and Scorpion. Yeah. John Rhys-Davies is the holodeck Leonardo da Vinci on the Voyager. He pops up in those two episodes.
I don't remember it at all.
He plays Da Vinci, a very useful person to have on your starship.
You guys remember that? I don't remember that at all. Like for some reason that's blocked out for me, that entire appearance. I just can't see it.
Yeah.
All right.
John Rhys-Davies.
Nice.
Great guy.
Nice. He's a guy. Good guy. He's a guy as well. All right. Let's move on to the soundtrack grade. I'd give it a GG for Good Goldsmith. We already mentioned that. Not much else to say.
Good gold.
Good gold. Twitter post. Go ahead.
I'm curious. Did anybody pick up on anything that wasn't just orchestrated score? Obviously the Wagner, right?
Yeah. Nothing else for me. I mean, every time I'd hear a stinger, it would be like, okay, that's Indiana Jones.
How sad that they only had the one song. Ride of the Valkyries was the only song. Because, like, how fun would it have been if that gramophone, like, if there had been a second guy who had a backpack full of records?
Dueling record. Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Like, put on something else. I don't know what the else would be, but it just, I don't know. It just seemed really.
Then how would you get. How would you get right? Well, he'd be so mad. Then he couldn't say, finally, no more Wagner.
Well, I did some digging and found out that this was a thing in World War One. They would bring somebody would have one of these on their back. They would bring it both for troop morale, but also to like play something like Wagner to go into your fight. And it was a real thing. And it just seems the most gangly, ridiculous concept to me to have that on your back, trying to have a record work with a needle in the ancient way it used to work while you're running across a freaking battlefield. That just is so weird to me. I don't get it.
It is very, very strange.
Let's move on now to the Twitter post where you guys sum things up in 280 characters or less. And I think this week we'll start with Randy.
King Solomon's Mines, a movie that could not be made today and should not be made today, primarily because of copyright and trademark laws, but also the racism. Thank goodness for copyright and trademark laws, huh?
Yeah, the racism. Oh, there's plenty of it. All right, now we move on to Brian Dunaway.
King Solomon's Mines. Why are we going this way? The shortest distance between two points is a better movie series starring Harrison Ford. # boil me an onions.
Gross. I don't like boiled onions. Well, I kind of actually do like a boiled onion.
I do like boiled onions.
Yeah, it depends on what it's with. Betcha. Yeah, it's okay. Hey, Brian Ibbett, it's your turn.
King Solomon's Mines. When the cauldrons are rocking, don't bother with this horrible movie.
Yeah. Maybe that's why they were cheering. They thought there was some coitus happening.
Oh, maybe.
I did write that down.
You don't want that in your soup.
Nope. Mm. Nope, you don't. I don't want no wiener in my soup.
This is creamy soup.
Yeah.
Cream of
you just made
soup.
It worse. Somehow it's worse. Well done. It's worse. Well, let's see if these bad titles are as bad. These are alternate titles. It was almost called Some People Like Nickels and Dimes, but I'm more of a quarter main. Do you get it?
Ooh, that took me somewhere.
It'll take you somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah, it's all about the money. Or Indiana Jones and the Curse of the Cash-In Lesser Film. All right, moving on. We got some emails. A couple emails here from listeners that sent emails to us at filmsack@gmail.com. We got one from Kurt Schmitz, who says, "Hey there, guys. Just thought I would share this after the episode conversation about the phrase, quote, hit the head, unquote. Because we were saying, what does that even mean? Why did we get hit the head? We know it means to go pee, but why? Or, you know, whatever." He says, "On ancient sailing vessels, the figurehead..." Which you always see the front of the ship carved out, right?
Was
the reference. The wind direction on the ship would be from the back to the front. So in order to not be peeing into the wind, you would go to the front or the head of the ship. Thank you for the years of laughs, Kurt. So he says, when you say hit the head, it means you need to go where the head is, where the wind's not going to blow pee back in your face.
Okay.
Totally. I knew it was maritime. I knew it was a marine
I think you said that even. Yeah, you'd mentioned. You said something about that, and I thought, well, so we were going to find out more, and sure enough, listener's
Was there a line to the head? Is that happen? I mean, like a bunch of... Because it's like it narrows down to the very small, right? I mean, excuse me.
My turn. My turn.
My turn.
You next. I got pee pee. I need to go pee.
All right. Greetings, Sackers, says Mark Hansen, who wrote in and says, I have the perfect film to end your summer of action.
Oh.
We may be too late. But anyway, it says...
Yeah, we kind of just ended it.
Yeah, we kind of just ended it. But it's still, you know, whatever. We can still do it. It says, 1980s fantasy action spectacular, Hawk the Slayer.
The
film has it all. It was made as a direct response to Star Wars A New Hope. It has warriors, dwarves, an elf who can shoot a bow like an AK-47, Jack Palance eating every bit of scenery he sees, a disco soundtrack, and it looks like someone filmed a well-funded LARP over the weekend. It is free with ads on Amazon Prime Video. This could well be the greatest sackable film ever from Mark Hansen. He's also low-key 1066 when he's in the chat. Cool. We've talked about this before, right? Yeah. Hawk the Slayer?
Yeah. 1980s so. Hawk the Slayer, you're correct. It is in the bargain bin of streaming services and a favorite of mine from my childhood.
Why don't we do this? We should do this. Seems good.
We should do this.
Oh, look at this, dude. That guy looks like Han Solo on the front.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
When I say that guy, I guess that's Jack Palance.
The guy. Yep. That guy doing the one-arm push-ups, I think that's...
John Terry, sorry. Jack Palance is the bad guy.
That's a way to hurt your hand, though, holding a sword like that.
Yeah. Oh, and it's got William Morgan Shepherd. You don't know that you know him, but you do.
Right.
He's an amazing actor with amazing voice work. Specifically, if you played Civilization V, he was the narrator for Civ 5. Man, that guy's got a cool voice. Oh, it's
yeah,
so
in Star Trek The Undiscovered Country.
Yes.
William Shepherd was the Klingon that yells at the rest of the Klingons in like the trial.
Yeah. He died recently, but an amazing body of work with voice work in particular, but lots of other stuff too. He was on Dexter. Forgot about that. Oh, he was the father dude, the priest.
Father dude.
The father dude. Yeah, for real. If you've never played Civ 5, go listen to go like YouTube and listen just to him talk. You'll want him to put you to bed. He's great. Not in a sexual way. All right. Real quick here, I want to mention some patrons who joined the show since we last spoke. Tattoo Gigolo.
Oh.
Yeah. Brian's Scrote.
Oh, hi Brian Scrote. How you doing down there?
Yeah, doing good. Adrian Elio, Evan Hudson, Bad Robot 06, and Dave Kavanaugh all joined the Patreon since we last had a show.
Dave Kavanaugh of the Long Island Kavanaughs.
Yeah, the Long Island Kavanaughs. Very well done, all of you. Thank you for being here. And if you're like, how do we convince other people that they need to join this amazing thing? Well, here's one reason. Brian Dunaway is about to release the September edition of our monthly show that we do as a bonus for our patrons. And patrons are the only ones that get it. No one else gets it. It's not time release to anything. Right. They're the only ones. Okay?
Yeah.
So the be only in there. Ones. And then I also know that Brian Ibbett's made progress for our high tier of people for these magnets he's making. They're amazing.
Yep, they've all been printed. I need to sand the back of them and glue in the magnets, and they are good to go.
Yep. We're going to ship that shit. You're going to get them.
Ship that shit.
Ship that shit, son. Anyway,
I'm also still working on how we're going to show our patrons the things we show each other in our Discord while we're recording.
Yeah,
that's it's tricky because Patreon.com doesn't offer us a ton there. But I'm working on it. We're gonna make that a part of every show where it makes sense. I don't think there are some shows where we're like, we don't really have anything that you can't see.
Yeah, you don't need to see the cover of Temple of Skulls. You'll be fine. But some weeks we have other stuff, you know. So watch for that. That's patreon.com/filmsack for those who haven't joined. Get your ad-free, wonderful, rad experience always and forever at patreon.com/TMS. Film sack. Film sack. Nothing wrong with TMS either. You could do it there as well. Nope. All right. Our next movie is, what is it? I don't even know. What are we doing?
Speaking of Patreon, we got this right from our patrons. We started a little poll comment thread asking patrons to help us choose a film. And a bunch of them said we need to sack Flight of the Navigator. Specifically, I want to name Banana Zit and Craig Taus.
Bananas. Okay,
that's a patron of ours.
Sure.
We're gonna have to watch Flight of the Navigator on Disney Plus. So dust off your Disney subscription, and we're gonna find out all about it next week.
Nice. Mine doesn't have any dust on it. I just watched something on there. Can't remember what, yeah. But something. Or I just watched She-Hulk. Loki. No, I haven't seen She-Hulk yet. I need to watch that. Is it good?
You do. Yeah.
It's only one out, right? Or two now?
Two out.
Yeah. Okay.
2 30-minute episodes. Super quick.
The Green Lady.
30 minutes. What am I, made of time?
Anyway, that's Flight of the Navigator. Long time coming. Finally going to happen. That'll be next time on FilmSack. FilmSack.com is our website. And don't forget that Patreon again. Patreon.com/FilmSack. FilmSack@gmail.com is our email address. And we're on Twitter @FilmSack. Leave us a review wherever you get your shows. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
No more Wagner.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.